Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. This is the final weekend before the primary on this coming Thursday. So we're hopping across the river today, and I will be interviewing Rodney Wilshire, who is running for mayor of Troy. Rodney, how's it going?
Hey, I'm doing really great, Cynthia. Thank you so much for having me on.
So this has been kind of a long, long campaign for you. What made you decide to run for mayor?
Well, it's you're right. It's been a long journey. I guess it really started when I was 30, and my wife and I. Bought our first house together. We got married. We bought a home, and then we had our first child. And I'm from Troy. I grew up in South Troy, and went away to college. I've always been a voter. I've been a registered Democrat since I was 18 years old. I got a chance to vote for Bill Clinton. That was my first election in 1992, and I've been voting ever since. And when I came, back here after college, and then my wife and I got married and we bought our house, I started to get involved in the community as far as, the government and action is concerned. I started, helping out with other political campaigns. I worked for Ken Zalewski on his first city council race. Ken has been a tremendous mentor to me. He really has set the bar and the standard on what it means to be a public servant and constituent services, and he taught me a lot. 4 years ago, my wife and I, after we had started our business, I do solar here in Troy, and it's been an 8-year-long business here that we have been running successfully. I really got a chance to see a lot of the issues and started to, have my own vision about how I could improve the city and move it forward and make it more equitable, make it more welcoming and opening, and really just move the city in the direction that benefits everyone. And we decided that it would be the right time to get involved in actually public service for the government. So I ran for city council at large, and I had done that, and my plan was to run for city council at large and have 4 terms on the council, and then run for mayor of Troy. And when the current mayor decided he wasn't going to run for re-election this year, that obviously created a void that needed to be filled, and I looked around and I said, I guess, we really need to accelerate the schedule as far as my plans are concerned. And we talked again, and with the blessing of my wife, with Jolene, she said, I think it's time. The city needs you. You're ready. And step up to the plate. And so I decided to run for mayor this year. And I'm glad that I took the time to be on the council because, to be quite honest, Troy is it's a large city. It's a long city. It's got a lot of unique geography and socioeconomic differences throughout the city, and it needs time to understand how to run the government there. So as a council member, I was able to learn about all of the various aspects of our city and of our government, and that's something that you really you need to be on the council or have, that kind of relationship in order to get that experience. As council president, which I was elected 2 years ago, I had the opportunity to work with the administration directly every single week. I have a meeting with the mayor, and in many cases I'm working with different department heads and departments on a daily and weekly basis. So my experience with the city government and the functions of the city has grown vastly. And I feel if you want to run the city, you need to know how the city runs. So, my preparation, my experience, and my determination has put me in this position to be an effective leader and an effective executive of the city. Coupled with my engineering background and my business skills and management skills. I do believe that I'll be able to run the city more efficiently, more focused on customer service, and run the city a little bit more like a business, which we really need to do because we are facing some very troubling financial times, and we need to bring that back into focus while making sure that we do the things that government should be doing and making sure that we are meeting the needs of all of our citizens and all of our taxpayers throughout the entire city.
Now, as a councilman, and now that you're running for mayor, you know firsthand what the problems are in the city of Troy. What are the, in your opinion, the three most important issues facing the residents of Troy today, and how would you address them?
Great question, Cynthia. Issues number one and two, depending on your perspective, might have more priority or the other. So I'll put them up there together. But it's the finances and our public safety. I think they both compete for the first spot. But I'll talk about the finances first. The finances, we have a budget gap that is growing every single year. And right now we're looking at a $1.9 million budget gap in 2016. And that is that's unfortunate, and it's something that even though the taxes continue to rise, the expenses outpace the revenue, and that's unsustainable. If my business was operated that way, we'd be out of business. Unfortunately, in the city, in the municipal world, you just put your hand out and receive more taxes, but that's not a sustainable way. And what happens is that when our finances are in such dire circumstances, the things that government really should be doing, like providing good recreational activities, making sure our sidewalks and our streets are clean and safe to drive on and pass, that goes unmet. Our equipment goes unfixed. So we've got to bring our finances back under control. I have a plan for that. First of all, as council president, we worked through the budget this past season and delayed the implementation of it until we were able to find a way to save an additional $300,000, which is 1.5%, so that we can put that in a reserve to be dedicated to the 2016 budget gap. And we were successful in doing that. We hope to get more. Right now it looks like we'll have about $400,000 saved up for 2016 to shrink that gap. The second thing that I've done, which is goes to my background as an engineer and also as a business owner, is to be a little more conservative and sustainable with our energy usage and demand. So we have a solar farm that's going in part of the capped landfill and in other areas around Troy, where in the first year of operation, that is projected to save between $200,000 and $300,000 of electrical usage. So again, that's another addition to our savings. It doesn't close the gap, but it's something that we can do. And then something else that I've been working on for years is a way of diverting some of our solid waste to the landfill. We pay $70 a ton for tipping fees, and we do an abysmal job at recycling, and we don't do any composting. So we're implementing a composting program, a pilot program, and I'd like to enhance our recycling program so that we can save money there. Those are some significant savings that we can have for the taxpayers and the city of Troy to help close that budget gap. And then we look at efficiencies throughout the city and the various departments. There are ways that, and once I get into office, I'll be able to understand them a little better, but there are ways that we can cut expenses and save throughout the different departments just by being more efficient and doing things a little better. As far as settling our union contracts fairly and equitably, I believe that there are savings there as well. So I think we can close this gap in 2016 if we all come together and work hard at doing it, and that's really kind of the first priority. The second priority is our public safety. Whether crime is up or just the perception of crime is up, we need to have a safe city. People want to live in a city that's safe. They want to live in a city that is clean, and they want to live in a city that they feel that the police department is responsive and the fire department is doing its job. We have an excellent police department and an excellent fire department, and we need to support them. One of the initiatives that Chief Tedesco has been working on for the past 3 years that I fully support is community policing. And that is a philosophy and a style of policing that is successful in Albany, and it's something that's going on throughout the country. But really what it is, in its simplest form, are the cops getting out of their cars and working with the neighborhoods and working with the people on the streets and getting to know them, to develop relationships, to create communication paths, both directions, and that fosters empathy and respect between the communities, both the law enforcement community and the communities that they protect and serve. When that happens, the level of communication exists so that when there's something going on that's bad, they know who they can trust, they know who to talk to, and information flows a little quicker. So that helps solve crimes. It also helps prevent crimes because things that might be festering get communicated. And it also, again, it breeds respect for the police. A lot of times people in certain parts of the community, and we see this throughout the country, do not have a respect for the police, and that's very unfortunate. The police officers are there to protect and serve. We have a tremendously professional police department, and it's getting better every day, and we need to encourage that. So that's something that I want to do is foster and improve our community policing. I think that will go a long way. And cleaning up the streets. The streets in Troy need better appearance. It's something my wife and I always talk about. We go into our gateways of the city, and in some cases they just look atrocious. So we need to do a better job at cleaning those up. The final thing to answer your question, Cynthia, is openness and transparency. Our city needs to be more open to the public, to the constituents that it serves. There needs to be clear paths to, if you're trying to start a business, you need to know who you need to speak to, what are the rules, the regulations, how you apply for permits, what the ordinances are on zoning. It can be very tough to get business going here. It also can be very tough if you're trying to find information out. Our website is not as user-friendly as it needs to be. There's a lot of who you know that gets you places here in the city, and that needs to stop. So, the political connections, the petty politics of the past need to be put aside.
Now, you had mentioned the police. There was an unfortunate incident a couple of weeks ago in Troy dealing with the police. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that and what your feelings are about it?
Sure, yeah. I assume you're talking about when the two police officers, Chad Klein and Joshua Kometal, were shot. They were, two of our most brave police officers and fine police officers that we have here on the Troy force. Were out doing their jobs. They were on duty. They were patrolling, and a call came in for an attempted carjacking, and the suspect was quickly identified, and the officers attempted to stop him and halt, stop, they're trying to question him. And the suspect opened fire, Chad Klein, while he was sitting in his police cruiser and attempted to kill him at nearly point-blank range. He shot right through the window, shot at his head, and, luckily it only hit him in the shoulder. He then proceeded to continue to shoot at the officers, and then the officers shot back, and a gunfight, erupted. This was right on the corner of 112th Street and 5th Avenue in Lansingburg. It's a tremendously busy intersection. Lots of businesses exist right there. I think the pizza shop was open at the time. There were people out. Over 20 rounds were fired. The Officer Kamatel was shot in both legs and sustained, very traumatic injuries. I think his bones were broken. He was just recently released from the hospital and was in critical condition. He's got a long road of recovery. Officer Klein was shot in the shoulder, and eventually the officers, their return fire, Mr. Faizan, who was a suspect, he died as a result of his injuries. This was a terrible incident that happened. It could have ended much worse. The officers could have been killed, and there could have been loss of innocent life on the street. This is, not the kind of thing that we want to have happen in our city. But I'm thankful that the officers were there. They responded absolutely professionally and correctly and performed their duties as they have been instructed and performed heroically. These officers protected themselves and protected our streets even after they were shot. This is, it's a very scary situation, and, I had a chance to visit Officer Klein in the hospital. It was a little unnerving for me to go in there because, I've really never seen someone who's been a victim of a gunshot wound and who had their life attempted on. And it makes me very sad to know that Mr. Faizan walked right up on that officer in his car and tried to kill him. It's really tough. But the officers, they removed a bad guy from the streets and saved the city from much worse danger. I looked at some of the spots where the bullet holes went through, and there's a cafe right on that corner. And had this taken place at another time during the day, which it very well could have, those bullet holes would have went right through the spot where somebody was sitting having a coffee. It's really a tough time, but I have to congratulate our police department. I have to congratulate our officers for their heroism and their bravery, and I do hope that they have a speedy recovery.
Now, another issue in the news, and it came up this week, I believe, and that's the downsizing of the city council. What's your feeling about that?
I think that's a bad move. I am against that. I believe that we need more representation, not less. And this particular move, I can't even understand why the committee thought that this makes sense. It appears that their justification was an attempt to save something like $50,000 from our $66 million budget. It's very short-sighted. It's penny-wise, pound-foolish. I can't even say it's penny-wise. It's less than a penny-wise. But here's the biggest problem. Our city is long and thin. It's got a lot of diversity, and right now there are six council districts throughout the city, and the council members for each one of those districts, they represent the people in that district, and they perform constituent services for those members of the those citizens in that district. And we have three at-large council members, and one of them is a council president. I'm the council president right now, so I understand my job as an at-large representative and as a council president. As council president, my job is to work with the administration on a daily and weekly basis, but it's also to work on the legislation, on the agenda, and to handle the needs of my other council members. So the constituent services that I do for the city are far less than, say, the constituent services that council member Ken Zalewski does, or council member Anastasia Robertson or Bob Doherty do. They're in the streets and they're working. Now, if one of those council members is not able to perform their duties, or there's a problem, or they're overworked, the citizens have an opportunity to reach out to the other council members that represent them, namely the other two at-large members, and myself, when I do perform constituent services as well. If you remove the other two at-large members, then there is an even further burden on the council representation that's in that district, and the city council president is still performing the duties that the city council president does. So what that leaves is that you have lack of representation when you need it, and especially when you need it most, there's no one to turn to. So I disagree with this particular provision in the charter changes. I have implored the Charter Commission to consider making this a standalone referendum where the citizenry can vote on it as a standalone, but unfortunately, it appears, based on the polling that I understand from just talking to constituents and even attending the meetings, that the entire Charter Review Commission and the proposed changes are going to get shot down because of the fact that they included this provision. And that's unfortunate because there is a lot of other good work inside this charter, but it looks like it's going to get sunk for one purpose.
So other than the two issues that I just talked about, what is of importance that's in the news that I haven't mentioned? I mentioned the police. I mentioned the charter revision. What else is a burning issue right now in Troy that you will be attentive to if you are elected mayor?
Well, you did speak about those two things. Honestly, they're very simple issues, and these are issues that I see throughout the entire city, but it's infrastructure. I mean, it's as simple as sidewalks and cleanliness. Wherever you go, we've got sidewalks that are heaving and buckling. The trees, or just normal erosion have caused the sidewalks to become impassable in certain areas of the city. And that goes throughout the city. I don't mean certain areas, but in any block you can find sidewalks that are ridiculous, and we have parks and recreation. We are lacking things for the kids to do and for the families to do, especially throughout the end of the summer. And that goes back to our budget. You know, we don't have the money to do these things, and we're not thinking outside the box in ways to get these things done. So I hear that on the doors when I'm talking to the voters. I see it when I'm walking through the city. And unfortunately, that's a huge problem. It's something that needs to be addressed, and it's something that I will address as mayor next year. We can come up with creative solutions for these problems. I'd like to re-implement a sidewalk repair program that was that existed before, that helped homeowners with the cost of repairing sidewalks in front of their houses. But further, there are places where the city owns the sidewalks or the city owns the property, and these sidewalks are deteriorating. And it's a matter of public safety. We can't have people riding their little kids riding their bikes on the sidewalks, tripping and getting hurt, or people in motorized wheelchairs or who have mobility issues choosing to ride in the street because the sidewalk's not safe and not passable. That causes other public safety issues, and we can't be negligent or dismiss that as it's not our problem. So I'm going to be tackling those as well, and it's a huge priority, and it's something I think that makes our city safer and cleaner, and it's something that we need to do.
Now, in our closing moments, Rodney, give yourself a pitch as to why you should be the next mayor of Troy.
So, honestly, I think that if you want to run the city, you need to know how the city runs. And I've demonstrated through my experience on the city council, my leadership on the city council, that I have an ability to collaborate and work across the aisles. I've worked with the Republicans, with the independents members. I've worked with my fellow Democrats. I've worked outside of the city with the various organizations, the senators, congressmen, and legislators who help us pass things at a state and federal level. I have experience with our city budget. I have experience with all of the departments. I know the department heads. I know the people who do the work within the departments, and I know their roles and responsibilities. As a business owner, I understand efficiency. I understand marketing. I understand sales. I understand what we need to do to move our city forward, to make sure that it is run more like a business, to make sure that we are providing constituent services, good customer service and a great return on your investment for the citizens and taxpayers of this city. January 1st of this year, if we have a snowstorm or an ice event or some sort of bad weather, I'm going to know how to handle that. I'm going to be able to get in there and make sure the city continues to move forward. I am the most qualified candidate of all of the candidates who are running for the city of Troy right now. I think my record on the council demonstrates where my compassion and my fairness and my ability to have a vision and move the city forward. And I don't think that we can trust our city to anyone else based on promises without actual performance metrics. So as we move
now,
into this this year, that's where I think you should be looking.
Now, a reminder to everybody who will be voting. Voting this year is on Thursday, this coming Thursday, September 10th, between the hours of 12 and 9 p.m.
Right.
So, Rodney, if anybody, in the closing days, there's only a few days left, but I'm sure you might be able to use a little more help with volunteers and so forth, or maybe a small, you know, campaign contribution. If anybody wants to volunteer or do anything for you, phone banking, whatever, in these closing days, how can they reach you?
Oh, wow, great question, Cynthia. There's a couple of different ways. I have a website, Wiltshire for Troy, and that's WiltshireForTroy.com. You can go to my Facebook page, Rodney Wiltshire for Troy, or take this number down and you can call us. It's 518-306-1160. Again, 518-306-1160. And if you go to either the Facebook page or my website, you can find links to email us. And there's also links for financial contributions on there as well. I appreciate it, and we do appreciate all the support, anyone who wants to give here, and I appreciate the opportunity to come on your show today, Cynthia. Thank you very much, and have a great weekend.
Thank you. Good luck, Rodney. You've been listening to Rodney Wiltshire, who is a candidate, Democratic candidate for mayor of Troy, New York. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and download on your smartphone. Listen anytime, anywhere. Have a great Labor Day weekend, and good luck next Thursday, Rodney.
Thank you.